and reads further on Arthur Berlet's translated book on his Akkart travel or abduction to that planet. This is from page 82. Is it true that you have never attended a school of engineering or astronomy? It is. And I tell you, I have never been in such schools, nor have I had the honor of speaking personally with any professor of such classes. What is your profession on Earth? If it makes no difference, this gentleman, indicating a cork, can explain it, since I have already told him in full detail. With their concurrence, a cork related all that I had told him, my age, nationality, civil status, profession, and all the rest. It seemed to me that all were in agreement, until the son of the son himself, who remained quiet, nodded assent with his head. Then the first sat down and another got up. This one was big, of fine features, with a long face and a fine and sharp voice, and asked, "What, sir, were you doing in the surroundings of our solar ship when you were surprised and picked up by our guards?" I told them why I happened to be walking through there that day, as I have already narrated. "What do the terrestrials think with respect to our solar ships?" Apparently little or almost nothing. "Why apparently?" I explained. I said apparently because in my status as a humble laborer, I was blocked from being more in contact with the students of these things or with the scientists who perhaps might be able to understand more about these solar ships. I had heard said once in a while that flying discs had been seen, as they were called on Earth. For this I said little or almost nothing was known, neither of where they came from or what they are made. It is only possible to guarantee that your ships still pertain to a mysterious world. However, I, who know of one from up close, find this more accentuated. I call them flying bowls because they are more like our bowls. They all laughed at my opinion. This made me happy, and I thought mentally, are they finding this a good thing? Then the second ceded the questioning to a third. This one also had the face of death. I was fascinated by the color of the skin of those people. They all had that color one sees in a sepulchre of a pallid white, the men as well as the women. The third personality asked me, "What will you do, sir, when you return to Earth?" Content with that reference to returning, I answered, "Well, I will go on with my normal life." No, that is not what I want to know. Are you going to tell what that you were here and what you saw and all else? Well, to be frank, nobody would believe what I would say. Why? Because after I was back on Earth, if they took me back, could I think whether it would be convenient to tell anyone or not? On the one hand, it is possible that I would tell, because terrestrials are very talkative. What do you mean, talkative? It is that we cannot keep a secret very long without speaking. On the other hand, if I speak, it would subject me to exposure, the ridicule, because nobody will believe me if I tell something like this. For this, I assure that there is a possibility that I may speak, but no one or anybody is going to believe what I say about Accord, not even my family. But the word of a man has no value of earth? Well, in certain circumstances it has, but to prove a fact such as this could only be done with material proofs or human witnesses. And where am I going to go to get these? I would like to be certain that it is like that. I am certain that it is thus, and I risk a question, if not out of place, if perhaps I tell what I have seen and heard here, and nobody believes it. What ill could come of this? Well, perhaps it would. He cut off his response. He was interrupted by the thunder voice which had interrogated me earlier, saying, "Excuse me, but we required your presence, which was to question you, and not for you to question us." Fearfully I responded, "Excuse me." The son of the sun, who had remained quiet the whole time that I was being interrogated by them, made a sign and all became quiet. All those that were standing sat down, including myself and Accord. He spoke with a calm voice to those present. As I understood nothing that he said, I asked Accord, "What is it that he is saying?" "He is proposing a solution for your case." "What is the basis for his solution?" "In the sense that they make a complete examination of you before they leave you on Earth, to assure you that they have left you no proof of anything here that could demonstrate yourself having been here." He said also that he believes firmly in your words that nobody will believe you on Earth. They will not believe it, because they prefer to hunt in the dark. "What do you mean by hunt in the dark?" "Yes, the same that they find fundamental in my story. They are not going to connect these people there, that you have already taken your first steps, where your people have already come there for many years. Each tries to be the first to reach some point beyond the terrestrial globe, not for having the need to go to another planet to live, because we have sufficient space to double ourselves without worrying ourselves with overpopulation. It is for ambition, for honors, for glory that we try. As the debate proceeded without our participation, perhaps I could tell him with a fable I knew. A certain hunter in a particular place had taken much game, and as nobody any more paid him much attention on his return from his routine hunts, resolved to make a hunt of great size, so that when he returned victorious, all would acclaim him. He made his preparations and spent a great fortune, forgetting that with this enormous expense he could incur misery, hunger and death for his sons and brothers. These were already greatly hurt by their routine hunts. Judging wrongly the conditions, they were touched by the great hunt. Upon taking the first steps, he encountered a handicapped boy who, knowing the intentions of the hunter, came up to him saying, Senor, do not go hunting now in that place, because I, in some manner very strange, have been there and only returned by a miracle. The game that you expect to find has already been taken by very powerful hunters there. If you insist on carrying out this hunt with the means of transport and arms you have now, you will perish on the road. Or if not, upon encountering those hunters, you will be vanquished. Then the hunter, not doubting this insight, looked indignantly at the boy and said, "Bold boy, perhaps you want to give lessons on the hunt to a hunter such as I, still charged with foolishness and stupidity and obsessed with the glories that he would have upon return." He continued, leaving the boy there to follow him with a sad and vacant look. When he had gone a tenth part of the distance, he began to realize that with the means of transport at his disposal, it was not possible to continue. He was deciding whether to remedy this by going back or to proceed with his ambitious trip, when he was attacked by the other hunters equipped with better transport, who massacred him. A cork, smiling through his teeth, said, "Is that very realistic?" "Yes. I prefer the logic, despite my brothers of the earth in the majority being a little adventuresome." Then in a tone of doubt he said, "So it seems that you do not like them?" "No, on the contrary, I like all of the earth people, whites, blacks and yellows. What I detest is the manner in which they act so much, besides being materialistic." "A cork is an exceptional man, and I admire him all the time more for his intelligence. I was thinking that he was listening only to me, but no. He was listening simultaneously to me and to the debate of the council. This was going in my favor when suddenly a cork stood up, explaining something for the son of the sun, curtailing our conversation. They exchanged ideas for about 2 minutes, and then a cork turned to me and motioned for me to get up. I stood up. Then he described to me the solution proposed by the son of the sun, which had been tentatively accepted, depending somewhat on some questions that they still wanted to ask me. Primarily, it was the son of the sun who asked, 'What is it that you already know and have seen here on our cart?' This question I understood completely, was put out merely to test my faithfulness, since it was certain that the Akork had already answered this for them before. If I fell into contradiction, trying to hide something that they already knew, then certainly they would not believe anything that I would say about Earth. I thought on this a moment, and then I said, "My friend Akork here can answer for me, since what I saw was in his presence, and all I know is what he has told me. But if you would consider him a friend, are you not afraid you may prejudice it with this answer?" "No, I'm not afraid, because with the truth nothing can prejudice anyone." It seemed like they all liked my response. "That is good. We already knew it would be like that. If perhaps we have a need for someone on Earth, do you think that you could make contact for some collaboration, mainly with you?" "I can tell you that if you take me back to Earth, I will always be eternally grateful to you, and if the occasion ever arises that I could in some manner or another be able to lend any help to one of you, I would do it, even to the sacrifice of my own life. I believe that someday, possibly, it will be of great value for us of Earth, if it happens, that we could be of service to you, and you to us ourselves, and our loved ones of Earth. But how could you lend help to a people as powerful as us Akartians? Comparing with the body, a child with eyes also is little. Nevertheless, without them, it can see nothing." He responded without my understanding very well what he meant to say by this. He spoke some more with Akork. Then he told me to sit down, and he sat also. Then followed a debate between the Son of the Sun and the counselors. This debate, as already said, proceeded calmly, where each one expressed his point of view. "What are they saying now?" he is asking the opinion of the council. After addressing some words to the council, the Son of the Sun crossed the fingers of his hands on the table and remained there in silence. There was murmuring among all of the counselors until one of them got up, quieting the others. He addressed some words to the Son of the Sun. I, overcome with curiosity, interrogated Akork. "What did he say?" Akork smiled toward me in satisfaction and said, "What he is saying is good news for you. Can you not, sir, translate more of what he says?" "Yes," he responded. With his gaze fixed on me, he spoke. "In the name of the council, they are giving full power to the Son of the Sun for him to resolve your case in the way that seems best for him. What is going to do with me? He has already said what he thinks is in your respect." Terminating an explanation to the council, the Son of the Sun took the words to say, and Akork translated later, "And now my resolution, which is of the council also, by consent of the people of Akkad, resolved the following. As this terrestrial entity did not come to us of his own volitude, and was brought by one of us, it is well to say by force and as our spirit of faith and also our high spiritual sense, which ordains no prejudice to other, we have no other alternative except to take him back to earth, at the same time running the risk of bringing down a long plan of ours concerning the earth. I said, say more. He has already seen and heard much about our planet Akkart, due to a Kork who is asked to remain with him some 2 days more. That is until our guard day. And then upon this day a ship will depart to take him back to Earth. But if he desires to leave immediately, we will take him. If he agrees to remain until after the guard day, I order that a Kork accompany him and show him all that we have, even to telling him all about our plan with respect to Earth. Thus he will fully comprehend that it is better for us to be friends. I noticed at the same time that the Kork was somewhat surprised at the level of speech of the Son of the Sun. Certainly it was when he was designated in this way. Then a Kork communicated it all to me, including the request by the Son of the Sun, posing for me to answer whether I wanted to leave soon or whether I would wait until after the guard day. I reflected slightly. Well, now that I am certain that they are going to take me back, it is not so important if I remain a day or two more. Then I answered, you can tell them that I will remain until then. A Kork demonstrating content translated my reply to the Son of the Sun. After hearing the answer, he still ordered to a Kork that he bring me to his residence for the next meal. After this, he retired, following by those that were sitting at the table with him. That was followed by the others leaving also. That was down on page 88 and also to the end of part 10. The next part then is chapter 11, which is headed A Lunch with the Son of the Sun. Part 11. A Lunch with the Son of the Sun. Then a Kork and I went out of the room and went to the corridor of the easy chairs, and we sat down. A Kork asked me, are you content? I am, I responded. He continued, the Son of the Sun asked me to bring you to his residence for the next meal. Are you saying, sir, that I am going to be eating at the same table as your king or president? Who am I to merit such a great honor? I already told you that here we have no distinction of class. We are all equal. Just as you have eaten in my house, it is likewise with the Son of the Sun, or with any other. If it is thus, then you consider all as brothers. It is true that we are accustomed to understand this, but since we came to this reality, we have transformed our planet from a hell of theft and robbery, lies, usury, speculations and shame, to a paradise of love, fraternity, understanding and progress. Oh, if only the earth had such an understanding, more than anything, that with which you refer to at first ought to be ruled there. I don't know until when. Perhaps when all have brought down all, then certainly it will be late to begin a ray of beauty and of love approximating that which is the case here. Well, let us go inside, since it is almost time for the second meal. Go where? The son of the sun doesn't live here, in this same palace? Yes, he lives in an apartment in this building. But does he not have a palace? No. Because why would it have to be a palace of 80 to 100 rooms, when an apartment of 8 to 10 rooms is enough to live comfortably with his wife, 2 children and 2 helpers? I don't understand how the class of humanity come to such a point of understanding here. With respect to the son of the sun, it is logical, for once we all had the same rights and responsibilities. We selected those of us who would guide our destinies. These, once selected, transformed their desires into laws and their words into orders. But it is not allowed that they appropriate the power that the people have put into their hands to benefit themselves, because the laws are made for the common good. If they did, they would be betraying a confidence with the people had voted them. In truth, the son of the council have the power to order and to rescind orders, and they are given all honors and respect as the chosen of the people which they are. But this does not pertain to their personal life, where they have the same rights as any other, such as in dress, alimentation, and habitation. That is fantastic, I explained. We walked to nearly the end of the corridor, slowly conversing. Then a cork entered an elevator and bade me enter also. We went up to the 3rd level and got out in a corridor much narrower than the outer there below, and continued on to a door. This had a metallic pendant made like a saucer. A cork touched it with 2 fingers and raised it to horizontal position and moved it sidewise to touch the door. I heard a tinkle there inside. It was like a bell. And as we waited in front of the door, I asked him, "What are we going to do here?" He looked at me in surprise, with the expression of one answering a useless question, and responded, "Do you not remember that the son of the sun has invited us?" "Yes, but is this where he lives?" "Of course. I wonder where he has his apartment, on the terrace?" I responded something, but it was not exact, for finally the door was opened and in the entrance appeared a young boy with a big smile and a soft voice. He said, "Enter." I didn't understand his words, but by his gestures I understood that this was what he said. We went in some 4 steps and stopped. After closing the door, he indicated a seat on which we sat down. He spoke with a cork and then left. What did he say? He said he would advise the son of the sun that we are here. Saying this, a cork leaned back in the seat. He seemed tired. I began to examine the room where we were. I don't know the size, which was a little large, almost a copy of the apartment of a cork. The furniture, the walls and all was the same. I remembered the ideas I had when a cork told me of the son of the sun. I anticipated a palace with a beautiful garden in front, emblazoned with multicolored blooms, high gate with an insignia of the son of the sun above the pillars, white uniformed guards and no end of servants. Suddenly the thought came to me that he was selected by millions of Akkadians. Then, suspending that, I made another much more fantastic. As there was little hurried, my imagination constructed a still greater scene, with multicolored walls, with no lack of the richness peculiar to such edifices here on earth. All around I saw dozens of ships hovering, and others similar, which came and went. At the entrance to the palace was a guard of honor. To get to the office of the son of the sun, one has to pass through a vast saloon full of people, seeking audience and many attending to them, and untouched and uncounted others in that infernal hubbub. But instead of that, to top the surprises for me, here I was in his palace, this palace, which was nothing more than nor less than a modest apartment, with scarcely two helpers, and in absolute silence there not being any more rooms apparent on the floor, that floor which was confirmed later. Besides the saloon of the council to receive guests and to grant audiences, was this one where we waited. At that time I also noticed that I was attracting much attention. I was so involved in my thoughts that I forgot that I was dressed in my earth clothes at the time. They were so different from their design as for the type of material, which was completely different from the materials of a cork. I began to look at my clothes and then those of a cork. They were as different as night and day. Next to his, mine looked like I had gone out in the rain and gotten wet. Beside his, which were appropriate for a meeting or a visit such as this, I began to feel some embarrassment. For this, I at least needed a suit, complete with a tie. Despite which, I had not seen anyone there with one. I felt that I would disregard it there, but a regret, because they had cuffs for the sleeves and several dozens ties. Only at the neck they had nothing, just stopped, like I would say, a shape, like a sea without a color. If I were on earth, would I feel embarrassed to enter a cafe to have an ice cream with him? But here it was different, and something new. Becoming conscious that I, as well as my clothes, were a great novelty, I confronted the situation with more optimism. Several minutes transpired without a cork saying anything to me. I, for my part, also had nothing to ask at the moment, since I was absorbed in my thoughts. Finally, when I asked him something, the door opened and the youth returned, exchanging some words with a cork. I believe to communicate the arrival of the Son of the Sun. He stood to one side and had his hands behind him. A cork got up and ordered me to do the same. He put me standing at his side. The Son of the Sun entered with slow but firm steps. His face was all smiles. Rubbing his hands one on the other, he came right up to us and put one hand on the shoulder of a cork and the other on me, and he made a gesture of greeting with his hand. I felt a little embarrassed, always talking with a cork. They sat on a sofa at my side. With a signal from a cork, I sat down too. For several minutes, the two conversed. I calculated that he was asking information about me, because he gesticulated in my direction. They spoke of many things, as I understood from the gestures. I understood perfectly when he spoke to the youth and sent him out to get something to drink. The youth went out and returned with three chalices and a bowl, serving one to the Son of the Sun, another to a cork, and the last to me. I was half undecided, not knowing if I should touch it or not, since I was afraid it might be something strong. Then a cork intervened, saying, "You may drink, since it is the same as we drank in my house." Then I took the chalice and drank a swallow. When I sipped it, it turned so as not to appear so much not one of them, because with him and a cork and the youth, I still felt good and willing, but if there was going to be anybody else, I didn't know. Having no more than just thought of this, the door opened and there appeared a man of the same aspect as those others that I had met there. He greeted us and then addressed the Sun. They exchanged some words and he withdrew through the same door that he came. Then a cork spoke to me. "Now we are going to meet the family of the Son of the Sun." "Yes, sir," I said, swallowing. He said something to me, and I took it that at least the two children were small, thus they would be only two or less to ask me questions. Not having finished these thoughts, there emerged from the door to in the front of us a woman, a young boy and a girl. The Sun got up. A cork and I imitating to meet those three people. And speaking and gesticulating, the Sun addressed the group in front of us and continued with a cork as intermediary to present to us his wife, the Sun, and finally the girl, saying the name of each one. I think they were presented in their own names, but the cork didn't translate those names into German. "Then," means the Son, said the following, "I understand your desire to know for certain that you will be returned to earth, but it is not much more than the curiosity of my family to know a terrestrial personally. In truth, they were staring at me, as their curiosity was clearly transparent. They looked at me from head to toe, except the senora who seemed to have better control. I never have seen nor even imagined that there could be human beings so unusual as these, mainly the two littler ones. I still felt a little fear in confronting their gaze. All that I had seen on a cart up to then were pale in complexion, but those that I now saw in front of me were perfect cadavers in color. I would not like to come up into one of them sleeping. This continued for several minutes. The Son of the Sun spoke animatedly, and I believe he was extolling the qualities of his family from me. I scarcely responded yes or no to the translation by a cork, but without understanding anything, I resembled an automaton since I was hypnotized by the look of those creatures. Suddenly, to my great relief, they withdrew and left the room. We sat down again. A cork and the Sun continued speaking among themselves. As I understood nothing that they were saying, I remained quiet, absorbed in my thoughts. Mentally, I rapidly reviewed in retrospect these three creatures who had just left. The woman was of a stature more of the tall type, a regular form, but a little of the heavy side. I did not see whether she was a narrow waist because of her loose dress of heavy material. The skin on the hands as well as the face had a deathly pallid color. The skin was so white that it seemed ashen. Her face featured a mouth not too big but with full lips slightly protruding. Fine semi-long nose for her full face. Her eyes were bright and large, active, examining all but without undue curiosity. Her character was self-dependent, seeming not to be frightened of or curious about anything. Her hair was a light straw color and was, as was the majority of the people there. The boy there, I would say, was about 10 years old, with the same personality as his mother, and looked very much like her, except in the nose, which was shorter and more rounded. Now the girl. Yes, I would like that my eyes were cameras to show that she was really like. She was the complete opposite of the mother and the boy, apparently 16 to 70 years old, slender, tall, flat as a board, without any curves. I scarcely noticed a rise where her breast would be. Her neck was long and slender in harmony with the rest of the body. Her face was the worst of all, frightening me with a pointed chin, a gash of a mouth, always half open, showing long teeth. The nose was narrow and long. They have an area from the point of the chin to the forehead that is almost the same level. She had large eyes, more oval, Cleopatra type, that instead of sloping toward the ears were more in the direction of the forehead. Her hair was long and loose, resembling the silk or green corn after it is dried, since it had very little color, giving the impression of being dried out and without life. Seeing this group together in front of me with their inquisitive look, I sought explanations for all that I was seeing, because I understood nothing, and only looked without understanding. When I was a child, I always heard histories of handsome, strong bachelors who sought conquest for the hand of the daughter of the king, fighting bold duels in adventures, all to be looked upon with favorable eyes by the king and his daughters. But with these, I believe that any of those conquistadors might still fight, but so not to be obliged to be tortured for the rest of their lives with a creature like this at their sides. I was interrupted by a cork who was translating to me a question of the Son of the Sun. He must have noticed my pensive state. "What are you thinking?" I was thinking of many things," I responded, trying for a better reply because I never could tell him what I was thinking about his daughter. "Then you have resolved to stay until our guard day?" "Yes, I have. Since you have already decided to return me, it does not matter one or two days more." He smiled with satisfaction and then said, "It is so that you will be able to write a narrative account in detail of your trip here." I wrote an account. I became a little frightened, thinking that he might doubt my loyalty. "But why did you ask me that? Perhaps to see if I would be capable of disregarding what I had promised? More still, the manner in which I was being treated here. They didn't have to worry about this with me, since it would take great effort for me to tell my family and a few friends. But no, that is not what we want. I'm asking you to write." I was understanding less and less. "No, after asking me to stay the last possible concerning this event. No, they asked me to make a written narrative," I answered. "But I'm not competent for this. I have very little education. However, as your sir advised me to make a narrative, shall I write all?" "Try to disseminate it to all the earth, if possible." With this proposition, I almost gave a laugh, but I controlled it and continued, "Frankly, sir, I do not understand. If I do what you ask, and my brothers of earth believe it, will that not sink your plans for earth? Then they are not going to believe it for one moment, as you have no proof, but they will believe you there in some 20 years, terrestrial years, or perhaps even in less time, and this we desire." I find this strange and also difficult, because I have no means at my disposal. "The means will appear. Do not worry. If you can do this task, it is going to benefit you much, and also us, and in some part the terrestrials. Why to me and a part only? Well, you have already stayed more than 2 days here, and today a cork can show and tell you all about to know. When you ask, a cork can explain all to you better, because he knows as much as I myself, and for him to explain is easier, because he can speak with you directly. A cork explained that we were now going to dine in the next room. I at first thought that the room where we were sitting was the one for dining, as in the house of a court, but no, there was another. We went through the door where the family of the son had gone, and it opened into a smaller room with furnishings of the same style as the outer one. A rectangular table was laid out with food for the meal. Before we sat down, a cork spoke to the son of the sun, and he went to an apparatus like which I have seen and spoken with his wife in her room. He turned it on, and I heard a hum, and his wife appeared in the screen. They spoke with happy expressions for several moments. I believed he told her we would not go out of there for the meal. Then, at the invitation of the son of the sun, we went to the table. Once we were all together there, the son, his wife, the two youngsters, a cork and I, the prayer was offered. After that we sat down, and I waited until last to serve myself. I paid attention to all to see if they had lost their curiosity about me. Nobody looked at me, except the daughter, who seemed still not satisfied, since she looked at me with heavy glances and was so insistent that I see her that there were moments when I led the eating utensils under my chin. With that I was more confabulated than her. If it had not been for a cork saying, "Serve yourself," I perhaps still would not have eaten because of the looks of that little monster. Then I commenced to serve myself of the varieties which I already knew. There were several kinds, almost all like those that I had eaten at the other tables. What was interesting was that nobody spoke during the whole meal. I had finished eating, and as before I drank a cup of sweet beverage, when the wife of the son, who had also served the table, commenced to pick up the plates and service. The two helpers carried them out soon, imitated by the boy and, to my great relief, the girl, but not before giving me a certain look. Then I leaned back in my chair and gave an enormous sigh of relief. I felt that the son of the sun noticed this, because they interrupted an animated dialogue began after the lunch, and looked at each other. For a moment they gazed at me inquisitively. The son of the sun asked me, "Are you all right?" "Yes, sir," I said. "Certainly you are not well adapted to our system of alimentation?" "No, still I much appreciate certain plates, sir. However, in this case I am not much in need of the alimentation. I usually adapt with facility to any new type of alimentation, however." Then he curtailed his discussions and got up, saying, "Well, I have much to tell you and to ask, but as there is difficulty in communication between us, and besides my time is short since I have to meet with the council to resolve an important matter, I leave you all to be well explained by Senor Acork, which he will tell you. Ask your questions of him, since he is going to accompany you the whole time you remain here." Then the three of us went out to the other room, and we took our leave. We went down the corridor to the elevator and descended to the bigger corridor. From there we went up to the terrace by another elevator. Once there above, he asked, "Would you like to see a little of the city here?" Yes, if I can. Do we have time for this? Accompanied by him, we made a trip around the terrace, and during this several machines arrived and parked, within which I saw, as I supposed, some council members who, indifferent to us, went straight to the elevators. For me, I could have remained the rest of the day there to contemplate the city, which from there was a marvel. A cork pointed out various buildings and explained the function of each of them. The sun, already well up, was striking the walls and producing that brilliant multicolor. But what was very different between a city of a cart and one of earth was the noise. With all that movement, one could hear almost nothing. There were no streetcars, autos, or even roads. Only those small solar ships came and went, which made scarcely a little hum. I asked a cork, "Are there no vehicles with wheels here?" "Yes, there are." "Then why don't I see some?" "I saw some later at the agriculture facilities." "Well, for this type of locomotion there are tunnels, or better said, subterranes." "But why only travel in subterranes? Have you not seen the width and of the streets? Is there room for traffic of one or more?" "Yes, but why do they make them so narrow?" "That is due to the lack of space here. We have to use to the maximum every palm of ground." "But are you obliged to assemble it all here? Why not extend the city more?" "I do not refer to only a lack of space in this city, but more to all of the planet." "But is this planet that small then?" "No. What we have is an overpopulation. We have here on a cart approximately 20 billion inhabitants, where you on Earth have scarcely 4 billion. According to our calculations, in an area about equal to ours. Well, let us go to my residence, and later, if you want, I can show you what the people are obliged to do because of the overpopulation." We got into the machine and flew to his house. He tried to fly good and high and half inclined, so that I could see the city better. It delighted me to contemplate that marvel with 100 million inhabitants. When I thought that we were no more than half way back, we began to descend, and in an instant we were parked on the terrace of his apartment. We disembarked from the machine and went inside. His wife met our arrival smiling. When his son, seated with a book, saw us arrive, he looked up and grabbed his father's arm. A cork mentioned for me to sit down. I sat. Followed by his wife and son, he went through a door saying, "I will return." I don't know how to explain how I felt this time upon entering the house of a cork, but it seemed like I had returned to my own house. The residence of the Son of the Sun made me feel complex, since on Earth the highest authority I had come to speak with personally was a prefect, and so there in front of a king or a president of 20 billion Sarkartian, it is logical that I felt vexed, and still more with that girl who stared at me constantly. Thus, when a cork retired with his wife and son, I made myself comfortable on the sofa, trying to recap recapitulate mentally all that I had happened to me until that hour of the day. I drew a balance and became content, since my side had gradually become more favorable. Then we have come to part 12, a visit to a farm, and that will be on a separate audio file.